Lorem is also kind of jealous and mad. He knows that she's making out with Jehu sometimes, and he suspects they're, you know, they're fucking.
Yeah, and he's been, like, in the friend zone his whole relationship with her. Right. And doing that thing that guys do where they blame her for that. It's the, I've just been waiting until my turn because, you know, she's a fucking sex object. Yeah.
That's exactly accurate.
It's so fucking gross. This movie's so gross.
God awful movie.
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 Welcome back to God Awful Movies, where each week we watch another terrible movie so you don't have to. I'm your host, Heath Enright, and I'm joined by the Keatsian Eli Bosnick. Eli, how's it going?
Heath Enright, long have I waited to feast my ears upon thee again.
All right. Whole episode, everybody. Buckle
Whole
in.
Whole episode in this voice.
Why do I do intros like that? I set it up. I set it up. And we also have a grizzled veteran of God Awful Movies who gets lots of questions about what the blackmail looks like that Eli has. Kara Santa Maria of the Talk Nerdy Podcast. Kara, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
No comment. Wink. Yep. Got it.
I'm here.
So, it's Tower 7. That's the blackmail I have on her.
So Kara, what are we going to be breaking down today?
Well, we watched Sins of Jezebel. It's the story of, I mean, do I have to tell you? It's pretty much all right there in the title.
Yeah, it's right there in the title. That's right.
It is. And Eli, how bad was Sins of Jezebel?
Well, if you love the titillating stories of the Bible's wildest babes, but you wish everyone had the looks of the hard-smoking 60s and 70s, you will love this movie.
Yeah, and this is in the 50s, so they were already looking like the 60s and 70s in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And the sexy dress. We'll get to
we'll
it.
Get right. To a lot of really, really old white guys in ancient Israel and Lebanon and Syria. Yeah. All right. Is there anything you'd like to nominate this one for being the best at being the worst at?
I mean, I had a few options, but ultimately, I think I'm going to go with best worst men who are very easy to convince to do whatever you want because they're very stupid and very horny.
Okay. We invited you on our podcast, not to insult. Oh, you're talking about the movie. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. It's on me.
I feel like Kara's not going to take the movie seriously and learn the lesson.
There's
the movie.
A really important lesson in here about when your girlfriend wants to go to brunch with her friends. You got to say no. Or if Israel will fall.
All right. I was going to go with best, very funny execution.
Like, the funniest
truly
possible.
Truly the funniest possible execution.
You just got there first.
We
yeah.
see
yeah.
a stoning and it's truly humorous somehow.
Oh, see, I actually think there is an execution that is funnier in the movie.
Okay.
So that'll
we'll
be
get
our
multiples.
Fight now.
Love it.
All right. And I, of course, am going to go with best worst seductress voice because this is about Jezebel, the foreign beauty and worshiper of Baal, who tore apart Israel's very foundations with her seductions. And she's played by an actress who will be using the mid-Atlantic accent yeah. the entire time.
All of a sudden, it's Gretchen Whitmer talking to you. It's the best.
Oh, hello, my king. You've entered my chambers in junk.
Yeah. Fun fact, I very much enjoyed it. It worked for me.
I jerked off to this movie.
No comment like Kara
Not
from
in front of Kara. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, we're just going to go ahead and take a quick break.
Keep it classy.
And then, for whatever reason, we're taking a break. And then we'll be back to give Kara the opportunity to answer for all the sins of her people.
It's not to jerk off Kara.
Sins of Jezebel.
It's a normal break, a non-jerk off break.
Normal.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the first ever writer's room meeting for the Sins of Jezebel.
Woo!
Yeah.
Jezebel.
Now, the point of this film is to remind everybody about one of the most important stories of the Bible, that of Jezebel.
Really?
Yeah. Jezebel seems like kind of a minor figure.
But what are you guys talking about? She turns Israelites to Baal. It's like a whole thing. Mm.
Yeah, but at that point in the Bible, the Jews disobey God literally every chapter. The only difference is that Jezebel is, you know, a woman.
Well, yeah, but that makes it, like, way worse.
Right.
So I feel like the best way for us to tell this story is to get a hot lady, the 50s version of naked, and then we show her smooch a bunch of dudes.
Oh, nice. Great idea. This will make lots of people more pious. I'm on board.
Should have stuck with directing porn.
You say that a lot, Phil.
Seriously, give it back now.
Just tell me the number to call Matt Damon and I will.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
Eli stole my phone.
Trying to get Matt Damon's number again?
Yeah, honestly, he keeps spelling celebrity names on the keypad and hitting send. It's costing me a fortune.
I know that's how it works, Kara. You can't fool me.
Look, Kara, I can't stop Eli from stealing your phone or selling tea bags filled with your cut-up socks, but you can save a bunch of money on your bill by switching to Mint Mobile.
Wait. What did you say?
What's Mint Mobile, you ask? That's what you said just now. Great question. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Plus, you can bring your own phone and number, activate with eSIM in minutes, and start saving immediately. No long-term contracts, no hassle.
No, I was definitely talking about the sock thing.
Why, yes, Kara, I have tried it. Indeed, I switched to Mint Mobile when they became a sponsor. I love that I get the same great service for a fraction of the price. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Mint Mobile.
Not dropping the sock thing over here.
If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/GAM. That's mintmobile.com/GAM. Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month 5-gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right, I tried Tom Hanks, but he was doing a weird accent and then he yelled at me, so...
Eli, what's this about my socks?
Guys, we have to get back to recording
the podcast. Yeah, can we just roll on
it? Gotta roll on it.
Why do I keep coming here?
The blackmail. And we're back. And we're going to start with some orchestral music. I'm told it's sweeping, according to the closed captioning. And we get a narrator giving us the book of Genesis. And he says, in the beginning, there was... Sorry, he does the radio voice. In the beginning, there was nothing but darkness and silence.
And we get darkness and silence for a second. And then he goes, shit, that's a bad movie.
Yeah,
all right. Let's, Now, to be clear, this opening montage will be moving a camera across a shitty painting that kind of has all the things he describes in it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure yet if this was going to be a like a film or an animated film. And it's also from like 1959, is that right?
Something in the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, so it was hard to tell what we were watching at the beginning. I do like that when he said, and then there were fish, and they showed a whale.
Yeah, water's full of fish. Fuck, God damn it.
Yeah. So yeah, they're panning across this cartoon landscape showing us like fish and birds and Adam and Eve. And then the narrator walks into the frame wearing like a warlock suit jacket, maybe judge's robes or something.
Judge's robes,
yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't sure why.
And he's like, oh, hello. I was talking from over here, just outside of that.
I was just ruling Plessy v. Ferguson. Yeah. Pretty sure that decision was awesome.
Yeah. It occurred to me that if all the guys in the 50s were talking like that, in that like radio voicey thing, it must have felt crazy all the time. That's just a weird voice to put on. I don't know. It feels like the vibes would have been nuts.
Especially because it seems like only men talked that way, right? Because you don't see old timey ladies being like, hello, it's me. Right. Yeah. Right. Like ladies have talked normal forever, which means some lady was just like sitting there, finished cleaning up all the things. And then he was like, hello, darling. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about our second son.
What are you doing with your voice?
What do you mean?
It's crazy. So just say regular.
Speech and diction.
Okay.
Regular.
I think my least favorite thing that everyone in this movie says, but especially it starts right here with the judge narrator, is evil.
Yeah.
Why did they say vil when they say evil? I don't understand.
Evil. It's a, you can't not do it with the radio voice. It's just like locked in.
Mercy.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. It's like
that
the
Jezebel, she's evil. She
Exactly.
Evil.
Evil.
We left certain unique adorableisms behind when we reach modernity. Like, I'm sad we don't say robot anymore.
Robot.
When we put the hard O, we can.
Yeah. You bring it back a lot.
Once they start getting married.
You like to say program instead of program.
I do program. Say program. Yeah. And wow. I say robot. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a little radio voice going.
I'm getting ready.
Why is the bad god named Ball?
It's actually dope because what's amazing is, like, while the Hebraic record of what Lightning God was supposed to look like and act like and talk like is relatively well preserved, Baal is fucking Game of Telephone with all the gods combined, right? So, like, Baal, which is who they're probably basing Baal on, is not a cow god, but there was a cow god like four fucking municipalities over, and they were like, fucking Bear's not scary enough. He's the cow guy. And then there was one god who maybe they burned babies to, but it wasn't Bear. So they were like, and they're the ones who burned the babies. Yeah. They've just smooshed all the gods into Judeo-Christianity Islam. And they're like, yeah, it's that one.
Well, and here's some fun irony. I just Wikipedia'd Baal. Northwest Semitic title and honorific, meaning owner, lord, or master, originating in the Levant. So like Phoenicia, which is where they talk about, you know, what's her name again? Jezebel
from Tyre. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was originally used to describe a husband or the owner of property before being applied to various local fertility and storm deities. So there's, this is like layers deep with the women ownership.
Yeah. The slavery and the sexism. Yeah. It's like,
so yeah, Judaism right away was like, that's got to be a commandment. No doing that guy.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we get here from the narrator. He he walks like menacingly toward the camera to talk about good and evil for a second, or evil.
With a weird little hand. Did you guys notice how small his hand was?
Yep. They're very tiny.
Yeah. And he tells us about the Ten Commandments. Starting, of course, with, you know, God monogamy, number one, the jealousy commandment. And number two, out of 10 or 12, no graven images of, you know, the polycule of gods. We don't like that.
Yeah.
And it introduces that, people tried to destroy God's commandments back then and they worshipped the pagan god Baal.
He says, there was evil again and a woman behind the evil.
Yeah. <of course. laughs> The last thing the narrator says is like, by the way, this is all a woman's fault. Okay, movie. Go.
Title card.
Yeah. And then, we get all of the people who made the movie who are all men. All Amazing. Of them. The wardrobe stylist, man. Makeup artist, man. I cannot imagine being that poor actress in the 50s and a man.
You mean like, Paulette Goddard?
Yeah, seriously. I was looking at the credits. The only women that I saw were the actress playing Jezebel and one hairstylist. Everybody else.
So
Stanley,
bad.
Carl, Frank, William, two Thomases. Yeah, all the ones I wrote down. Elmer's
going to do your makeup now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Movie buffs will remember Paulette Goddard. She was Charlie Chaplin's leading lady for a really long time. But it turns out that talking, not her strong suit, should have stuck with Modern Times and The Great Dictator.
Yeah, a lot of dudes. Seems like we did pretty well wrestling economic justice for men from Jezebel's matriarchy of back in the day. So that's good for us. Anyway, we cut to 9th century before Christ, city of Jezreel. And we learn that Ahab ruled over Israel, King Ahab. He's in his palace and he's getting a massage from a karate guy. And then he takes a meeting.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what year was real massage developed? Because I don't know what this extra's doing, but it's not massage.
Well, and it's like a weirdly, it's like attempting to be like a Swedish style massage, which I don't think they had in ancient Israel.
Did they have Swedish massage?
I don't imagine they did.
It feels like the extra didn't realize he was going to be expected to massage another dude and has like full blown 1950s homophobia about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like if I made a stranger at gunpoint on the street massage me on a massage table, this is the massage I feel like I would get.
It's a strange vibe. And Prophet Elijah walks in. He's got the meeting with the king and he wants Ahab to support Judaism more because the ancient Israel lands are divided a little bit in terms of religion. He's carrying a shepherd's crook and he will throughout the movie. I don't know why you would carry it when you're not shepherding, but that's his prop.
I think they just thought they've seen Moses in some old movies and they were like, the prophet always carries a big stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because they're just out there shepherding all day and making up stories about talking to God. I think that's just like how one profits.
Okay, yeah.
And a lot of sheep fucking and storytelling.
Yeah, it's like how Brad Pitt always wants an apple when he's acting. You know, if yes. you want to do prophecy, you want to have a crook. Something like that.
What do I do with my hand?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So Prophet Elijah shows up and Ahab, he gets up from his... ancient Israeli massage table that has like a face hole, and he takes his towel off and flashes everyone as like a crazy power move, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Now he'll later be wearing shorts underneath the towel. We said that in the later shot, but I spent the rest of this scene being like, no one's going to acknowledge that the king just opened his towel and showed him his big wet dong,
right.
His big oil covered dong.
Yeah. 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 We find out at the end of the scene that Ahab was apparently a never nude. That's canon mm-hmm. from the Bible.
Yep.
But he gets up, he flashes everybody, and then he starts talking to Elijah. He tells Elijah to, like, preach whatever he wants. Ahab, by the way, looks like Martin Short, which is an interesting pick for the region
it's
and the
choice.
Time.
Yeah, Elijah is going on and on about how Ahab needs to make sure we're only talking about Jehovah, and, like, you can't marry this bitch Jezebel that right. you're planning on marrying.
Yeah, why can't you marry a nice Jewish girl?
Yeah, marry a nice, exactly. And I'm thinking to myself, is this Ahab's third marriage? Because he,
yeah.
I mean, he looks about 60 with a bad dye job.
Yes, he's had a few.
Like, this is not a young man.
Well, to be fair, the actor was 15. It was just hard times in the 50s. I want to talk about Elijah's hype man here, because Elijah's hype man, and this never comes back. Elijah's hype man is like, I hear she dips her hands in the blood of her victims. And Ahab's like, no, man, she paints her nails. And he's like, fuck, I feel like I ruined it. Elijah was yeah. was saying something super important, and I just...
Yeah.
I wanted to yes and, but then I read on a yikyak that she dipped her hands into a blood of a victim.
Yeah, it's tricky when you hate your friend's girlfriend or, you know, person they're engaged to, but he's also so the king, so you have to, like, tread really lightly about that. But Ahab has answers. He's like, no, Jezebel's going to be awesome. She brings connections from Tyre that'll get us, you know, Strait of Hormuz, trade routes, we're all good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really, yeah, doing a lot of diplomacy here. And at one point he's like, Elijah, you will not send me to my grave without my having possessed this woman. It's like, you're saying the quiet part real loud there.
Yeah, 50s, it was just the normal volume part.
Exactly.
Right. Right, but they're all, Elijah and his advisor guy, they're mad that Jezebel's going to bring false gods to Israel. Ahab's like, no, it's fine. And during that speech where he's trying to explain that to them, he's holding his towel as best he can around his body, but he's yep. having so much trouble with it.
Up, I'm caught. I'm stuck. I put it around my hat. Now I'm a ghost.
Yeah.
I'm underneath.
Right. So they end the meeting, and then King Ahab's like, okay, face up time. And then we see he's not naked under the towel, actually.
That's the most dangerous part of the massage. That's always the not fun part.
Yeah. This is when the army captain named Jehu shows up. He's going to be one of our main characters. He got summoned by Ahab for another meeting. And if you're the kid, I wouldn't take meetings during massage time. It just kind of like ruins it and it makes it weird for everybody. But he's got a meeting with Jehu as well.
But that's all they do. All that royalty does in this film is lounge about and be touched.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I know, it kind of does. This is the part where I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm already like, wow, men are creepy, like within the first 2 seconds of this movie. But like when Jehu walks in, right, he's like a soldier, like a lead soldier guy. And he walks in to talk to Ahab. He runs into this old dude who is the father of his girlfriend.
Yeah, yes. Naboth.
Yeah, Naboth is the father. Later, we'll find out his girlfriend is Deborah or Deborah or yeah. however. And
Debbie.
Yeah, Debs.
Yeah, Debbie
I tell
from
you,
Michigan.
Jehu,
yeah.
I don't trust her at all. I don't like to talk not nice about another lady. You know me, I'm a girl's girl. Love nothing more than hanging out with my gals on a Saturday night. But this Jezebel girl, I don't know what she's into, you know?
Oh, she's up to trouble.
She's
oh,
not
no.
on the party line. I call her once a week and just beep, beep, beep. What's you know? She busy doing? I'll tell you, sin.
Just dipping her nails in the blood,
in the
of,
blood
her,
of her victims.
Yeah,
that's
victims.
What it is.
Yeah, I heard that too. Most smartest.
I like Maybelline. Now, Maybelline really works on my knees.
Anyway, so he's like, Neha.
We cut it, but me and Kara did that improv for another 4.5 hours, podcast listener. This is the next day.
You better believe I watched Drop Dead Gorgeous real recently. So
I jumped in too. I was Alyssa Slotkin. It was fun. We had a good conversation. We talked about our favorite hot dish.
So he comes in and he's like, hey, what up, Nahab? Haven't seen your daughter in a while, but can't wait to bone her. And Nahab's like, yeah, boy, that's fucking hot. And it's so creepy.
Yeah, that's a weird moment.
The creepiest conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Why are guys like this?
I guess the target audience for this movie likes it.
I don't know. I think it's better than the weird awkwardness you're supposed to have with a father-in-law today.
No, it's right? Not. Eli,
well, hear me out. Open your heart, Kara. Open your heart. We just did 5.5 improvs. We had a full dinner together. Open your heart. Because here's the thing.
Eli has this exact relationship with his father. Oh,
yes. He always is like, get in there, slugger. No, here's the thing. Today, father-in-law relationship, you're supposed to talk about anything except the fact that you fucked their kid. Right?
Yeah,
and so you end up just talking about
nature intended.
That's not what nature intended. You're supposed to chill with your bro. You're supposed to high five with your bro.
All right. So the entire point of this meeting is Ahab tells Jehu he's got to go get Jezebel and escort her back to the palace because she's on her way to become the new queen, princess, whatever. They're about to get married. He also says, Ahab tells Jehu, he's like, make sure she knows that, like, I'm really excited about fucking, but don't say it like that. Say it like really, you'll come up with something good. Say something romantic. Say it nice.
Yeah.
Which is a tough, tough assignment.
Well, it's also like the worst foreshadowing ever for like a Tristan and Isolde story.
Yeah.
Which is clearly happening here.
Right.
Like, oh, the hot young guy is going to go woo the new queen on behalf of the like 60-year-old king who doesn't know any big words.
Yeah, this is like Marcellus Wallace being like, take my wife out, Uma Thurman. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get Jehu riding a chariot to get Jezebel from wherever. She's already on the way though. She's got a military escort from Tyre. And Jehu's just there to do like extra guarding.
I feel like a palanquin, we see her palanquin bobbing along. I feel like a palanquin would make you nauseous as fuck.
Oh, fuck yeah, it would.
Right? 90% of what you must have done in a palanquin is just vomit. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with all the drapes closed. You can't see the horizon. Yeah. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
She's got those weird water goggles on in the back of her palanquin.
Yeah, help with her vestibular.
One second, guys. One second. I'll be out in a second. I got to take off these goggles and this acupressure bracelet that doesn't work.
Yeah. So Jehu shows up, sees the military escort. They're a little suspect of him right away, but he's like, hey, the king wants me to do like a love poem for the new princess. And everybody's like, okay. And Jezebel hears this from inside her little tent palanquin thing. She pops out like fucking Jessica Rabbit. And it's so funny because we get like Grace Kelly, or whatever this actress's name is, as the Lebanese princess of Tyre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. She very white. And she's wearing like, I don't know, like this red crop top, like a fucking slut, am I right? It's hot. And at this point, we also meet her keeper or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Lorem.
I so want his name to be Lorem Ipsum. Yeah, like, yeah, what is that
very well
name?
Could be. Very well could be.
He is filler. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not to be mean here, but I did write the same thing that many of you wrote when Jezebel first came out of the tent. Like, are all these people in this movie old or did they just age like spoiled milk?
Hard smoking times, hard drinking times.
How old do you think that actress was?
Oh, man, that's a great
like girl. When they filmed this.
She looks 50.
She looks 50, but what if she was like 32?
Could be.
She looks like your mom's friend posted. Did you have a friend of your mom's who got divorced and sort of did a glow up, but she's still a grown up? That's how she's hot, right? She's like, I've been going to Pilates hot.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, she is hot. She is hot, but like we're old.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know.
To like be fair, I am aging like the characters in this movie. I'm probably having a hard time relating because I look 97. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. So she's right in my wheelhouse. Hot 50-year-old divorcee.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. That's Jezebel.
Dips her nails into the blood of her enemy. Yeah.
Right. So Jehu like makes up a flirty message for her and she's like right away on board. She's like, okay, we're going to fuck. We're definitely going to fuck the two of us. Mm-hmm. And she decides she's going to leave with Jehu on the chariot and just go fast straight to the palace.
Which I feel like is the worst if you're a palanquin guy. Now, I know what you're thinking. What are you talking about, Eli? If you're a palanquin guy, you get so much of a lighter load, you don't have to carry a person and their shit anymore. No. Now, you're lugging a sideways palanquin. You're fucking just dragging it along the floor. No one's even riding it anymore.
We're making this harder. Can we do it upside down?
Exactly. No one like goes to see who steps out of your palanquin. The whole time you're walking with your palanquin, you're like, yeah, but when she steps out, everyone's going to be like, rabble, rabble, rabble. Now you've just got a big cloth box. You've got to huck 6.5 miles. It's the worst.
Can we just leave it? Can we come back for it?
Ramp.
Eli, the inside of your mind must be a wild place.
I think about the palanquin guy's journeys.
Eli's a man of the working class. That's what he cares about.
Man of the people. Mm-hmm. That's what they say about me.
So we get Jezebel riding with Jehu. Like she's on a motorcycle with the Fonz, right? That's kind of the vibes.
They really are going fast as fuck, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty impressed by this actor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 1950s movies loved chariots so much. They were, because cars were new enough that they were like, yeah, but fucking chariots are still cool, right? Yeah. I feel like we've lost something. We need to get Zendaya on a chariot ASAP.
Fuck yeah.
Right. So before they get back to the palace, we meet one other character. He doesn't matter, but he's the comic relief.
No, don't say that because this guy is the Eli Bosnick of this movie.
He sure is.
Sure is. You gotta give your comic relief a little space to breathe, folks. They do not give this guy. He gets this bit, and then the rest of the movie, he will be delivering tragic news still as his comic relief character.
Yeah.
But this is where he's trying to do his shtick. He's like, a chariot is like a horse. You go over one rough spot and she breaks her neck. And I was like, I don't know that plays, man. I don't know if that played in the 50s either.
Weird bit. He looks like, you know, a stooge that you don't know the name of. He's the chariot repair guy, I guess, for the palace. His name's Yankel. And he doesn't like his own name, which is fair.
And his accent's like straight from Brooklyn.
Yes. Yeah. He's Carl the Bucket Peckercorn.
He's Carl. Yes, absolutely. So we meet him for a second and then Jehu and Jezebel ride up. Yankel fucks up the interaction with the princess because he's awkward and bang. So, you know, yeah, comic relief character.
I can't help but notice I see your belly button. Does that mean we're married now?
I'm such an idiot. Yeah, he's got a little Chris Farley show going on too.
He's Eli Bosnick.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a lot of Eli.
Yankel Bosnick right there.
Yankel Bosnick.
Right. So then we cut inside the palace and we see Ahab picking out a necklace to give to Jezebel, and then Jehu and Jezebel walk in.
Yeah, and he's like, my king, I have brought you the princess. Sorry, she's got a bunch of dust on her and flies in her teeth. We went really fast for some reason. Oh, and King Ahab strikes out so hard here. It's really dark. He's like, I am in love with you, my queen. And she's like, thank you. Yeah. Handshake.
Yeah, he comes in a little too hot. And then we learn that he's set up chambers for her, but, you know, they're not quite married yet. So he can't go into that bedroom until after they get married. So she gets taken off to the chambers and there's a gong for this moment. He's like, okay, Sarah, servant, take her to the chambers. Gong guy. And we get a gong just to be like, there we go.
I wanted him to be on his phone and be like, fuck, oh, god damn it. I'm so sorry. I waited all day. You haven't needed me. And now it blew my moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll use him one more time. So I don't know. I kind of like the idea of a gong just being the beginning of stuff.
Yeah, you would.
That's okay.
Heath would hire a gong guy. I can completely see walking into Heath's apartment, his empty, barren apartment with one chair.
I would do that.
And there's just gong guy standing in the corner and he's like, wait for it.
And here we go. Yeah. So she goes off with the servant to her chambers for the night.
Which her servant's pretty hot too. So she's got like a chambermaid and a servant.
Yeah.
And they're like the only other women in the whole movie.
That is it. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was, and then she's like, come, m'lady, I will prepare your bath. And I was like, ooh, which direction is this movie going? Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
But
sadly, no. We got back to Ahab and Jehu, and Ahab remembers he forgot to give her the necklace. And he's like, fuck, I can't go in her room. Jehu, you got to do it. You got to go in there.
God, this guy is so stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Jehu, I forgot to fuck her. Will you go in there and fuck her for me? Yeah. I mean, oh.
Yeah. So Jehu walks into her chambers, gives her the necklace. Jezebel's like, ladies, servant ladies, get the fuck out. I'm doing a thing.
And they're like, get it.
Yeah.
Like, they know what's up.
Yeah.
They're like sneaking peeks on the way out.
Let us know if he's Jehu. You know what I'm saying? We have fun.
So, that was solid. So, yeah, she's got a plan for sure. Jezebel makes Jehu put the necklace on her, and she like turns backwards and like she's learning to play pool for the first time in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While he puts
like
the necklace
on. Shoot a gun.
On.
Yeah.
She has this great moment where she's like, they say your people are generous. And I'm like, hey, lady, they don't say that about our people. They say a lot about our people. But that's the one rumor that's never circled about us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, she says that. And Jehu touches her shoulder for way too long, which is super awkward. But then she's like, she's into it. She's flirting with him, obviously. And she's like, I want to learn more about you people, your fighting style, your sexual style, both combined together. That would be awesome. But it works. And they have some sex off camera for a second.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like there's the sexual tension is kind of like in this scene. And it just makes me wonder how the people in the audience of this movie felt getting turned on by the bad woman in a Bible story. Mm. Like, it must have given him the uh-ohs a little
Eli,
bit.
You said it weird. Mm-hmm. You got to not make noises.
No, it was a good yummy. It was a good yummy noise. That's the point of this movie.
Eli almost was like, shicks.
I married one.
Yes.
Yeah. The Jews who controlled Hollywood knew exactly what they were doing to the guys who watched Hollywood by making
okay.
this movie.
I like it.
All right. Well, we learned a lot about the people of the Jewish faith just now, including Eli, and especially, you know, sexually. I think it's time for a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Sins of Jezebel. My king, we must speak with you.
Very well. Masseuse, away. Tell me, advisors, what do you need?
It is about your bride. It is essential that you maintain our allegiance to the God of Israel.
Of course. You think that I'm a betrayal.
Dude.
Seriously?
What? Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. A little slip there.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Our priests must know.
Sorry. Just give me a second. That was a lot.
Yeah, man. That was a full face of King Dog.
Okay. You guys are the ones who walked in during my massage.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure. But you were like covered when we came in.
Yeah, man. You didn't need to adjust the towel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you wanted me to rule my kingdom from inside the hole in the massage table.
Okay, nobody's saying that. That's not what we're saying.
You're just being silly, sir.
It's fine. The point is, we must tell our priests
that they are... And it's poking out again.
You know what? Let's catch up at lunch.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's a weird shape. And we're back. When we left off, Jezebel had seduced Captain Jehu the night before her wedding to King Ahab. And now we're going to cut to the big wedding feast. And we just see Jehu glaring at Ahab and Jezebel with a bunch of jealousy going on.
Yeah. I like her hat. She's wearing a kind of, I don't want to say crown. It's more of a, like a solid gold headband.
Yeah.
She has some cool hats.
Yeah. She's got good head stuff, good hat stuff.
She's got some good hat business going on through the thing. I feel like she brought her own hats to the table when I came here. She was like...
Oh, clearly that was what was in the caravan.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of hats.
At one point, she's got like golden headphones, it looks like.
Yeah, we all wrote the same thing. Yeah, they're like some blinged out Beats.
Looks like Donald Trump branded Beats, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Beats by Dreidel.
There it is.
Well done. Well done. Mwah, cheers. I'm giving you a cheers. I'm giving you a cheers.
Maybe we'll go on vacation.
Maybe we do. Yeah, we can do that. I'll check with Cecil. So the other thing we see here is Deborah.
Can I go on vacation with you real quick? Kara, real quick, we have to go on vacation together.
I'll go on vacation with you. I have gone on vacation with you, Eli.
We did. That's true.
Actually, all three of us did go on vacation together. Shit.
That was awesome, yeah.
But if you think about it, Heath wasn't really there emotionally.
Well, no, I was, and you were stranded in the UK because you forgot your passport or whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah, you weren't there, Eli. It was just me and Heath.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm...
It was me, Heath, Anne, and Anna. And yeah. You weren't there.
Yeah, but I think I feel like I'm so present in our lives. It's like I was there.
Eli was
so
just eating like Welsh rarebit sandwiches very angrily and sadly in some diner in Manchester the whole time.
Rolling dice for a Warhammer tournament. Yep. Actually, what I was doing.
Okay, so we're at the wedding feast. We also see Jehu's girlfriend here, Deborah, who we mentioned earlier. And she notices the very obvious staring that's happening.
Mm-hmm. They're eye-fucking.
Yeah, just very
fully eye-fucking.
Yeah, and Deborah's like, you're eye-fucking the princess. I can see that. And also, she's very beautiful, but also clearly evil. I have woman's intuition on this, so I know she's evil.
Yeah, she says women can tell when other women are evil. Kara, is that true? You have to tell me if that's a power ladies have.
There's no such thing as evil, Eli. Okay. You know that,
I feel
right?
Like you're covering you up for say. Evil. That's what you would say if you knew which ladies
Jezebel.
Were
evil.
Yes! You and Elizabeth Holmes getting together for brunch.
Don't tell them that we can tell when the other one's evil.
Yeah.
That's a great Elizabeth Holmes, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I just talk like a man.
So good.
Right, so they have a little fight about that for a second off to the side. And then Ahab, he gives a speech. He, you know, knocks on his glass with his fork. He gives a speech in the third person referring to himself as Ahab. And then there's a big awkward silence. Like he ends what he believes to be his really cool speech. And he's the fucking king. And everybody's like, oh, you're done. You're done. Cool.
Oh, okay. Cool. Nice.
So he's kind of mad. He's like, all right, whatever. I'm going to take off with Jezebel.
And he's like shit-faced drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so depressing.
Yeah, not a good play. You got to pace that out, man.
Mm-hmm.
We see the shish kebabs, but it looks like somebody put a bunch of marshmallows on a stick and they like it when you light them on fire because they're like, you know, they get extra caramelized, which I do.
Yeah, they're burning.
Yeah. And then we cut to the bedroom and he's like, hey, Jezebel, like, I'm really excited about this. Pretend I'm not the king. Like, I want you to just, like, want me, like, for without king authority. And Jezebel's like, nah, that kind of ruins it for me. I don't know.
No. No. Build me a temple.
Yeah. But finally, she's like, you know what really turns me on? Temple to Baal.
Yeah. I wrote in my notes, this is what my mom pictured when I married a goy. She was like, oh, no. On their wedding night, she's going to ask for a temple to Baal. There's nothing I'll be able to do about it.
Right. Yeah. So Ahab's like, oh, man, you're supposed to like become Jewish. I thought that was the deal. You're going to curse the whole house. And Jezebel's like, reminder about sex. I'm dangling sex. And he's like, all right, temple of Baal.
Never mind. Yeah, no, you can have a wedding to Baal. You can do temples to Baal.
Yeah. She literally goes, I have no kingdom to give. I'm only a woman.
Yeah.
She's talking about her pussy just then.
Yeah, she 100% is talking about her pussy. Yep. And can I say, worked in the 1950s, worked in ancient Israel, works now.
God, you guys are dumb.
If any of you don't, we shouldn't be telling you this, but if anybody out there wants a temple to Baal, you could probably get it from some dude.
Like, I would buy a temple to Baal from Home Depot tomorrow, and not just because it's Mother's Day. I would just... We can build a temple to Baal whatever you want. Sure, hon. Fucking great. I'll put it right next to the pond.
Right.
God.
So he promises the temple as a wedding present, but then he immediately passes out and they do not consummate the marriage.
That's a win-win for her.
I was very confused by that. I thought that they were about to get into some kinky shit because it's like one second he's standing up and the next second he's on all fours. But then she puts like a blanket over him and walks away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a corpse. Yeah.
Yeah. What is this?
Right. So we cut straight from there to the new Temple of Baal. They're doing a ceremony. And this was, I laughed a lot. They're doing a song, like the Baal song by the ancient Israel a cappella group as the beginning of the ceremony.
I thought it was kind of good.
It was kind of nice.
Yeah, I kind of like the scene. It felt very like New Age California cult.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, yeah, there's, yeah, I dug it.
I would have given, if I were making this movie, I would have given Ball a less melodic hymn. Right, I would have gone with like a minor hymn and maybe make it a little less nice because it was kind of very, it was a cappella and it was very sweet. And I was like, this is a weird vibe to invoke for the bull god of child sacrifice.
Guys, this seems clearly better than Judaism. You're kind of fucking up your whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It's like so fun. It has belly dancers and shit.
Oh yeah. Well, right.
We get the song for a second and then immediately a dancer lady just pops up from inside like a ball cake, like a stripper kind of, and starts dancing.
Right. And to be clear, this lady is supposed to be fucking naked. To be clear, she is wearing what would be considered a relatively prudish swimsuit today, right? Like it is a high school gymnastics outfit today. But in the 1950s, when this movie came out, we are looking at all the holes, according to 1950s morality.
And also they use the gong again. You know, you got to use a gong if you have a gong. Mm-hmm. So the gong starts her dance and she does like modern dance. And
it's not, she doesn't really know how to belly dance, but she's doing modern dance in like a really kind of racist and stereotypical belly dancer costume.
Yeah, very much so.
If you asked me to start a fight with a belly dancer through the medium of dance, this is what I would do to convince her to kick me.
Yeah, it's right. The dance is supposed to be, you know, like evil seductress style of, you know, tire or whatever. And supposed to be like that, but it's just boring as fuck. And everybody's like, it's modern dancer. Cool. No, we'll just watch this.
Train with Martha Graham. She's alive right now. So that makes sense.
Everyone's acting like just like a random person stood up from a dinner party and began dancing. And everybody's like, oh, you're going to do modern dance to show us what you're talking about for a while. Okay.
Keith, you speak with the privilege of a man who's never been at a dinner party where someone started dancing. Can I tell you?
Okay. What did you act like?
I held perfectly still while my wife bored a hole in the side of my head with her eyes is what I did. I tried not to breathe for 4.5 minutes.
Okay, that's what happens a lot, though. Just Anna having to be like, no roasting, I'll fucking kill you.
Yep, 100% of the time.
Oh, boy.
So we get a little bit more dance, and then a troop of dancers comes out, and then even more dancers come out, this time some guys. And when the guys...
Yeah, I was waiting for the man whores. Yeah. They're all shirtless and sexy, and everybody's like doing the whirling dervish thing.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
All the dudes in the audience are like really turned on, too. It's like a weird, I don't know, like hypnotism thing.
Right. Yes. Right. It's hypnotizing the good people of ancient Israel, I guess.
The good people.
Yeah. And so when the guys come out to start dancing, that's when Jehu is like, this is too much for me. And he storms out.
Yeah. He's like, I'm getting a little chubby over here. I need to check myself.
I have to go to the balcony. So he leaves. And then Jezebel makes very weird, suspicious, hard eye contact with a bunch of people in the room and then also sneaks out to go see Jehu on the balcony.
Oh, did you guys notice? This was going to be my best worst. Do you notice that whenever she's going to evil, she raises her eyebrow and goes, evil, evil face. Mm-hmm.
Got like, like a Dwayne The Rock Johnson, like people's eyebrow for evil.
like a Dr. Evil. Yeah.
Blink, 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 blink.
Yeah. So she goes out on the balcony and she's like, oh, hey, Jehu, you scared of a sexual awakening from that atrocious dance from Tyre? And he's like, no. But then more kissing. They, you know, she like flirts with him a bit more and they start making out.
Not afraid to ball. It's because I wanted to smooch you so bad. And she's like, okay, well, we can smooch out on the balcony.
Yeah. But just then, we cut back inside into the palace and Elijah the prophet storms in. He's got the crook and he's like, I command you to cease in the name of Jehovah.
They were about to throw main dancer girl into the fire pit, right?
Oh, no. Do you think that was a sacrifice there?
So I think that, look, it might have just been the dance move. I believe we're supposed to believe that they're about to throw her into the fire pit. And I wanted her to be like, okay, so what do I do with my afternoon? I didn't make plans, guys. I thought I was being sacrificed to Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the silly thing.
I didn't do my taxes.
About this, right, is that if that's what we're supposed to think, it does not come across. What comes across is this religion is fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Just very clearly the better one that's more fun.
It's like sexy and there's like lots of like pleasure and everyone looks really happy.
Modern dance.
I like that one better than the Jehovah one where like the crazy, like the town raving lunatic.
Where one old white guy comes in and yells at everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a fun religion for me.
Yeah. He comes in, he does a huge scoldy speech in favor of his religion. And he's like, guys, this is like literally the first and second commandment. You got to be kidding me. So God is normally pretty cool about stuff here in the Old Testament times. But
no, he's not.
Shut up. No questions. Hands down. This is too far for God. We're going to get a big drought now as a curse from God. You did this.
Yeah, not because we live in the middle of the fucking desert.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not why drought. It's God.
Elijah's big speech here actually works quite well. Everybody's like immediately contrite and they're just like, oh man, that is the first and second commandment. Shit. And he just walks out being like, yeah, I nailed that speech. And I wanted one more thing to happen in the scene, but it doesn't. I wanted the dancers to awkwardly have to start again because they obviously had to stop when this old ass guy comes in and starts yelling. And then they're like, do it 2, 3, 4. No, nobody's doing it. Okay.
She stands up and she's like, come on, fellas, big finish. Nope. Okay, sorry. I misread this moment.
But we're going to do the lift. Ah, fine, fine. So now we see the terrible drought curse from God. And there's a big windstorm and stuff.
Which is just like insert shots of LA.
Of dry.
Yeah, right.
It's just LA. It's just the ground in Los Angeles.
This is boring too, damn it.
Right. And we see an angry mob being held back by the palace guards because the drought's like killing a bunch of people. And they're all just yelling like, this is obviously the false God thing, right? Like obviously the first commandment they fucked up.
Oh yeah. This is full South Park level, like rabble rousing with bad ADR. It's like rabble, rabble, rabble.
Oh, 100%.
It's because of the Jezebel.
Right.
Yeah. Luckily, everyone heckles in ancient Israel in full sentences, which I really appreciated.
Everybody's like, I'll tell you, this is because of Jezebel. That's my opinion. I'm down here at the bottom of the balcony.
Right. Yeah. So from the big rabble mob, we cut inside to Jezebel's chambers and she's talking with her advisor guy, Lorem. He's worried about the starving rabble. Jezebel doesn't care. She's like, we got the army. We're good to go.
Yeah, she's just like seductive lounging. She doesn't have a worry in the world, dipping her fingers in the blood of her victims.
Right. Yeah.
What does she say at one point? She's like, I don't trust poor people or something like that.
I wrote in my notes, I get it, Jezebel.
So Lorem is also kind of jealous and mad. He knows that she's making out with Jehu sometimes and he suspects they're fucking.
Yeah, and he's been like in the friend zone his whole relationship with her.
Right.
And doing that thing that guys do where they blame her for that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the character of, Philip Filler, Lorem Ipsum. Yeah, that's his whole
100%.
Thing.
100%. It's the, I've just been waiting until my turn because, she's a fucking sex object. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly accurate.
It's so fucking gross. This movie's so gross.
Yeah, but Jezebel's like, yeah, I'm definitely fucking that guy. And, he was faithfully Jewish, but not anymore because he's got Baal in his blood now. And her plan that she explains here, she's going to like pray to Baal or do a ceremony for Baal. And that's going to bring rain. And then Elijah's going to look dumb. But then for a second, this was great. She like kind of admits a little bit of atheism. She's like, or not. I don't know. The Baal thing's just like window dressing. Rain just happens eventually. So we literally just wait and I win if we could do that way too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have this weird moment of establishing lore where Lorem Ipsum is like, what happened to the girl with love in her heart? And she's like, this isn't really part of the Bible story, but I don't know. I'm the queen now.
Right.
Were we in a relationship? Is that what you're saying? You're like,
ew.
You once saw me in love and now I'm not in love. Do you want me to pretend to be the girl? Is this a role play thing? You have to tell me on the chat thread for scenes what you want the scene to be. You can't just fucking bring it up.
Right. So yeah, she's flirting with Lorm too. She's, you know, stringing him on a little bit. That's the character.
She is not.
Well,
she's,
that's just the character.
Whoa, not cool.
She's just being Jezebel.
Exactly. Yeah.
She can't help it that she's fucking hot, man.
Yes.
Fair enough.
It's not something she does to men.
Yeah, that's what Heath always says. And I'm always like, what? That's crazy. Don't say that about girls. They can do whatever. I read the Judy Blume books, so I don't know.
Right, so
a feminist icon.
Fair enough. Maybe it's not clear that she's evil, but then we see that she spills a cup of blood that she keeps next to her bed all the time and likes to drink blood.
Because she does dip her fingers in blood.
Yeah, what are they trying to say with this? Is that what they were trying to say?
She does dip her fingers in blood. The guy from earlier, he was right. I wanted him to pop his head in the room and be like, ha, I knew it. Everyone looked at me like I was super fucking stupid. That's blood. This blood.
Were you just waiting out there for that?
Do you remember earlier, though, when they're in the king's chambers and he's like getting a massage and they're like, I think it was like Jehu, and he was like, let's have some wine. And he pours two glasses of wine and it's thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Syrupy.
I think she's just drinking gross ancient wine.
Nesquik? Yeah. The pink one that the weird kid would bring to school?
Gross.
God. Hey, if you want to know, it, like, you're probably an adult who's been diagnosed as neurodiverse. Hey, it was the pink Nesquik, just so you know.
Yeah,
whatever labels Kara's profession has put on it, the minute your mom bought pink Nesquik and sent you to school with it, you were fucking doomed.
You deserve to be bullied by Eli.
I like pink milk. Yeah,
yeah.
That's not.
That's what Eli is saying. Okay. So from there we cut to Mount Carmel, where they're going to do the big blood sacrifice of an ox and, you know, pray to Baal to get rain.
Mm-hmm.
Jehu shows up and chariot repair guy Yankel, he gets to be in the movie again for
he's
a
trying
second.
To do bits. He's trying desperately to do bits.
That's so hard.
This is how I feel around. So I have friends who are serious actors now who do real acting stuff, and we'll be talking about real acting stuff. Yankel trying to talk to the horse about how much he hates Baal is me when my friends are like, yeah, I'm auditioning for a Broadway show. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I can my podcast. When he tells the horse that he hates Baal, I wanted the horse to turn to him and be like, I'm actually Episcopalian. I was like, ah, oh, God damn it.
Right. So funny bits guy gets to do his thing. He gets to be an over five and have crafty. So good for him. And then we see Jehu going into a tent. He's going to talk to Ahab. So there's like this sacrifice going on and there's tents. The whole thing looks kind of like the fire festival. It's weird. Jehu goes into Ahab's tent and Ahab's like, hey, Jehu, cool. So I'm worried. What if the magic doesn't give us rain? And Jehu's like, well, then we're fucked. We're fucked. Yep. That's what happens.
Maybe Baal is busy, or maybe Baal is doing that thing on a Zoom call where everyone talks at the same time and then they spend the next minute going, no, you go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they go outside, they start the Baal-based rain sacrifice thing. But then, of course, Elijah shows up very dramatically again. And he's like, I told you God was mad. We must be Jewish correctly. We're not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they challenge him to a God battle.
Yeah, this is fun. Magic versus magic fights are the fucking best.
Awesome. Prophet fights are great. So Elijah's like, yeah, okay, we'll do a God battle. But you have to remove all but 12 of the stones, which is biblical, except they've been burning a bull to Baal, and I wanted the logistics of that to be really tiresome, right? I wanted a bunch of guys to be like, so wait, what do we just drag away the flaming bull carcass? Put it where, Elijah? The fridge?
Right.
You got a fucking mini fridge in your tent that I could put this burning bull carcass in?
Okay, also, if you get challenged to do a magic fight, if Elijah's like, I'm going to do Jehovah prayers, you do Baal prayers, and we'll see who wins. Ahab at first doesn't want to do the magic fight and the crowd kind of gets mad at him, but like, just fucking do it and claim it was you. You can't lose at a magic fight.
That's true.
It's a magic fight.
And if you want to trick people into a magic fight, all you got to do is wait until someone says the thing that they don't like and then you go, oh, and they'll magic fight.
Yeah.
They'll end up magic fighting.
Yeah.
But you can just jump in and be like, I also want all but 12 stones removed. So like everything can kind of be a tie. You can attribute it to Baal later if you want.
Dibs, my rain. This one's mine. This rain, this drop was mine.
Yeah. But Elijah does the official prayer to Jehovah rain spell, and it does rain.
Right when he does it. God damn it.
Yeah, and then back at the castle, we see Jezebel with Lorem Ipsum, and she's like, hey, the rain thing worked.
Right, yeah. She's like, yep, Baal's God. We fucking nailed it. Perfect. She gets how strategy works on this. So then Ahab gets back to the palace. Jezebel, she's super psyched about Baal doing the rain. But he comes in and he's like, oh, bad news, babe. It was Elijah. He prayed to Jehovah and it worked.
Yeah, we lost the God battle. And then we couldn't have orange slices afterwards because we didn't shake the other team's hands. So yeah. It was a pretty tough day, actually.
Oh, Eli, your childhood.
I mean, I was not in the sports doing well, oh, yeah. But yeah. I always got orange slices because I was at home in the air conditioning eating orange slices. But I'm told you had to shake the other team's hands from inside my literal ivory tower. I would occasionally look down at the heaps of the world and they seemed to be shaking hands or mating. I don't know. It was none of my business.
Right. So the point is, Elijah now has kind of a little populist movement going because he did his spell and it rained. And there's a Jewish elder guy here in the palace at the moment. And he's like, yeah, no. So Jehovah is clearly like the real God. So like, that's what we should do. And Jezebel's like, fuck that. No, it was Baal. I'm going to kill Elijah now. That's my new plan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for every day Elijah's alive, she's going to kill one Jew.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. She goes into like hostage mode almost. Like, I'm going to kill one Elijah follower every 10 minutes until he gives up because he's in hiding in the caves or whatever. And she decides she's going to like make it official with a law that says she gets to kill Elijah. She grabs this scroll and she's like, honey, King Ahab, honey, I want you to sign the murder scroll so I'm allowed to do this.
So that means she'd been like drafting it up all day.
Yeah, it was ready.
She'd been calligraphying. It was ready for his sign off.
She had a backup plan. She was like, hey, I'm sure this Baal God fight is going to go our way. But if it doesn't, I'm going to trick my husband into signing a death scroll. So,
yeah.
Ooh.
And Ahab is hesitant, but she's like, hey, who do you want to be mad at you, God or your wife? And I wrote in my notes, I agree, Ahab. I also choose God to be mad at me instead of my wife. If I believed in God, I would still choose God to be mad at me instead of my wife.
Right. So from there, we cut and we see Deborah and Naboth. They're sneaking around at night. Eli has put a note in this, you know, to tell us what scene we're in. It just says sneaking Jews. So that,
no,
that's fun.
That wasn't me. That was Zoran Mamdani.
What's Eli? You have a noise for this, don't you? What's
creaky pa?
That's it.
Creaky pa.
Yep, that's
what
one.
Is that noise?
Creaky pa.
It's the noise we make when we're plotting. You wouldn't.
Oh, okay. All right. I wouldn't. Yeah. I don't.
The Jewish listeners
I'm on the
won't
other
remember.
Side of the plot. Always.
Exactly.
With you,
yeah.
Eli.
You're over. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, Deborah and Naboth, they're part of, you know, the populist uprising movement, and they're getting all their squad to flee the city, get together and plan their coup or whatever, and then Jehu shows up to arrest everyone. He got commanded by King Ahab to like go do that.
And I like how Naboth's daughter has a little like, damn, what do that pussy do moment with him? She's like, seriously? Fucking Jezebel again? Like, because I tried twisting my hands in opposite directions on a stick just as, and it doesn't seem like it would feel good. I feel like that's going to give you a rug burn.
It's like I'm starting a fire.
What are you talking about?
Do you like that? The Euro grip?
I'm rubbing my hands real fast like Mr. Miyagi. Is this anything? Will you stop killing our people if I do this?
Probably. Sadly.
But Jehu's like, yeah, no, that I do like that. So don't stop doing that. But I'm sorry, you know, soldier's duty. I got to do what I got to do here. But he does feel bad a little bit here. He starts to have a moral arc. He knows it's wrong because Jehovah in his heart, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like if you... back then or now or in the 50s, I don't fucking know. If you had like an ounce of critical thinking skills and you just walked into that, like you were born out of this culture and you just like walked into all this storytelling, you would be so confused, right? You'd be like, wait, so who's the false prophet? Which yeah. one's and which exactly. one's the real God?
It's a magic fight. There's no, yeah. everybody's, it's all stupid. I don't know. They seem more fun. So I guess if I'm picking one, the fun one, right?
I would go with fun.
With the
every
dancing?
Time.
And now, to be fair to the Bible is very clear that Baal is both a god and real, which like modern Christianity has left behind and they pretend it's just the devil and stuff. But like, to be fair, this movie very clearly portrays it as a god battle and Baal's just up in heaven being like, oh, looks like the queen once again got her way. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That polytheism. Got a paper over that shit.
Monotheism is slavery.
Right. So Jehu's arcing a little bit more now, and he kind of flips to the good team a little bit. He tells them how to elude all the other soldiers that might be coming. And he tells Naboth and Deborah about this secret trail behind the caves where they can, you know, maybe elude those soldiers. And Naboth's like, oh, do you mean the trail that's literally marked by the Star of David by any chance? Do you
mean that one? He's like, he doesn't tell them it. He just reminds it. You know that trail back there that we used to hang out on that has all the path to freedom?
I do mean that one. I do mean the magical trail marked by the Star of David all along.
I'm helping you right now by reminding you to do the thing that you were going to do anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, very convenient magical trail. Intelligent design. Good stuff. We're going to take one more quick break. But first, let me give Act 3 the hard sell. Will Ahab finally break up with the girlfriend that everybody hates? Will all his friends remind him that they predicted a literal God curse from the beginning? Will women continue to be maligned by Judeo-Christian society for creating all the sins? Find out the answer to these questions and more when we return for the jez-tacular conclusion of Sins of Jezebel.
Ugh, I fucking hate the patriarchy.
Hey, podcast listener. You know, here on GAM, we spend a lot of time commenting on a world where Christianity is infused into almost everything.
Given this week's movie, we couldn't help but wonder, what if things had turned out a little differently? For example, what if the worshippers of Baal had ended up the dominant religion?
What's up, Franklin Delano Roosevelt Middle School? How are you guys doing today?
All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. My name's Mike.
I'm Chris.
I'm Ashley.
And we're
Balls Ballers.
We're here to help you make good decisions that glorify Baal and keep his flames burning.
That's right, Mike. Let's start out with a little scene. Here we go. And action.
Hey, Ashley. Want a cigarette?
Sure, Chris. I hear all the cool kids are smoking.
And freeze. So, what did Ashley do wrong? That's right. No sacrifice should be burned except that which is burned in the name of Baal.
Not cool.
I went to Juilliard.
And we're back. When we left off, Jehu had just reminded the faithful Israelites about the secret trail of David so they could evade Ahab's army. And now he goes back to the palace to tell Jezebel that he let everyone escape.
Oh my God, this is like the buddy who has a terrible girlfriend and then he goes and tells her he cheated on her at the Arby's where you're all sitting.
Babe, I need to tell you because I love you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm actually just going to order an Uber into the middle of the desert. Thanks so much.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I can walk home along the highway. I'm good.
It's exactly the vibes of what happens here. He comes in and he sees Jezebel. She's next to her Baal statue. And he's like, yeah, I let him escape. I'm torn between, you know, my God and sex with you, an evil woman.
Yep.
She's like, cool. I'm going to make out with you again. And you're on my team again.
God, guys are dumb.
Yeah. And this time, Lorem is out on the balcony and he sees them kissing for a second.
But like, he already knew.
Yeah, he already
knew.
Like,
it's not really a reveal here.
Yeah, he sees it firsthand. So he's obviously jealous and mad because he's the friend zone guy, like you said earlier.
Really doesn't seem like she's realizing her best friend is the one who's been for her all along. It's crazy. God, women don't know what's good for them. It's the 1950s.
It does seem a bit weird at this point that Ahab still is like clueless.
Yeah, he has no idea what's happening.
He's not smart.
None at all. Yes. Okay. So Jezebel's running the show. She tells Jehu to go escort a caravan that she's got on the way from Tyre. So he goes out. And then Lorem walks in right after Jehu leaves. And he's like, all right, good job using men for the evil plot, I guess. Good job with that.
I tried to kiss him earlier to change him to our side, but he hit me pretty hard in the stomach. Yeah. You got to show me your technique. I think it's the twisting hands thing. I bet if I knew that, I could do it.
Right. And we learn here that the rest of her plan, she's going to tell King Ahab that Naboth is a traitor to get him in trouble, too.
because she wants to get him killed.
She wants to get him killed, right? So
for comic relief for us.
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but that's what's going to happen. So we cut from there to Lorem carrying out her bidding. He's meeting with some random guy named Bidkar about doing the frame up. He's going to be the witness against Naboth.
He's teaching Bidkar his lines.
Yeah, he's got lines for him. He's like, hey, Bidkar, let me hear you read this lie about Naboth that I wrote on a scroll here. And Bidkar's not great as a reader.
He's not great. I wanted the camera to pan back and Lorem's all wrapped up in scarves like an acting teacher. Stop acting and start doing, yeah. Bidkar. Yeah. Roll around on the ground with some other conspirators.
Yeah. Commit to the character. Yeah, he's not doing great, but they use him. And from there, we get a weird cut. It's like a speed pan off to the side, straight from there to a courtroom where Bidkar is accusing Naboth of cursing God in front of a bunch of judges. And then they're like, okay, Naboth, you can come in. Anything you want to say in your own defense? And all he says is, if truth cannot save me, what can? And the judges pretend to whisper to each other for a second.
Whisper, whisper, we're killing that guy.
I feel like the Supreme Court's just doing that. They're just like,
yeah, no, that's 6-3. I was gonna say,
6-3, you get stoned to death.
Oral arguments at this point.
Yeah. So they sentence him to be stoned to death. And then we get that. And it is true. It's the funniest possible stoning to death ever.
Bonk, bonk.
Yeah. Just
think
an actor getting mad, like he gets hit too hard with a prop stone of one of the three that gets thrown at him. Yep. He's just like, ow, that's a bruise now.
Guys,
fuck.
That one was real. That one really stoned me to death. And look, you're watching this and you're like, the only way this could be sillier is if, I don't know, there was an adorable dog lapping in his blood when
what
he dies.
What was that?
Yeah. Okay, so this is real in the Bible, right? Because they leave him there and the dogs eat his flesh, which is supposed to be this.
They talk about dogs a lot in like these scenes. Yeah, yeah.
This is in both the Bible things is why they have to include it. They only include the dog the first time, though, because they understand how adorable the dog is. They've gotten this like little scamp dog, fucking like some mix from the pound that's just like so happy to be in the movie, and they're like, all right, well, that very much killed the seriousness of the moment.
Right. So we see the dog, and then we see Jehu ride past the dead body and realize what's happened. So he goes to the palace to yell at Ahab and Jezebel, and he explains to her that, like, I didn't help escort your thugs from Tyre. I'm like a full good guy now.
Yeah.
And that means Ahab is going to execute Jehu for treason now.
Yeah.
But not right away. He's like, I'm going to execute you for treason, but you can take off for like a couple. You can leave for a couple days.
I think you deserve the best in me. And so I'm going to take some time to cool down. And then we're going to talk about my execution of you later.
But yes, definitely execution. Maybe when calmer heads prevail.
Calmer heads prevail. That's when I'll have you murdered.
That would be great.
And I guess if you want to fuck my wife again, you can do that too.
If you want to fuck my wife again one more time before you leave, I'll pretend I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll be over there in the corner in the king chair. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. So Jehu leaves and Jezebel's like, he'll be back because sex. And and then we see Jehu and comic relief chariot repair guy. They take off and they're going to go help Deborah and the squad.
Yeah. And it's very clear that they expected comic relief guy to do a little shtick here. They were like, come, my friend, we must away. And he was like, yeah. Sorry, our friend just got eaten by dogs after he was stoned to death. I don't really know what bits
do. A little catchphrase or something? You like those?
I don't really. I could pretend the Wooldasher Mizzle saw or something.
Who's the Wooldasher Mizzle?
You know.
Okay. Hey, it's a little meta chariot guy. This is off-putting.
I'm loving it. It's not just great. It's exploratory. Because I'm AI now. And talk like an AI does. M dash. M dash, M dash. Kill yourself.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so now we get the narrator again. We get the judge guy from the beginning.
Yeah, I thought this was the end. I was like, did they just run out of funding and now they're just going to narrate the rest of the movie?
But I guess the answer is yes, because instead of, you know, showing us the end of the movie, this guy tells us a bunch of the end of the movie as a narration.
While lighting a comically big menorah.
Yeah, what is that? Why does he light the menorah here and then in a later scene put out the menorah?
Hello, fellas. First of all, thanks so much for including me in the movie. I noticed we didn't really use my menorah during the first part. And
yeah, we told you not to bring that. It's just okay, really big. It's in the way.
But I did, and I brought it in the Uber, and the guy was super rude to me about bringing it because I put it in the passenger seat, and it got wax all over his car. And I would like to use
it. It's just, it's an OSHA violation. It's a lot of a fire hazard.
Okay. Well, I would like to light it and then unlight
immediately? Will you immediately unlight it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I'm going to say one sentence.
Then you might as well not do it, but fine. Fine. You can light it and then immediately unlight it.
Okay. And then we can go back to the movie.
Okay. Right. So he lights the giant menorah. He tells us that Jehu led an army to attack Jezebel and Ahab's kingdom. And then we actually do go back to the movie for a second.
Yeah, for like a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get Elijah's ghost shadow showing up to scold Ahab about all this.
Yeah, this is weird. I think it was like a creative transition, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Wait, but all the stuff that the narrator talked about, we just skipped over. Isn't it kind of important?
Definitely not.
That the Syrians killed King Ahab?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. With time.
No, you just said we went back to the live action part. He just says all that. We don't actually see any of that.
Yeah, we're going to get to it.
Right. No, but he does. As he's lighting the menorah, he explains to us that, like, you know, Jezreel was ruled by terror and fear. Jezebel stoned the heathens. People started defecting. We also learn that, you know, they get into a different war and they fight with, like, Syria across the border there. And Ahab dies at the end of one of those battles.
Yeah, because he like poses as a soldier for some reason. Like, why didn't he just stay in the castle?
Yeah, yeah. He dresses up like a soldier. I'm not sure what that accomplished. He dies.
He got killed. Yeah.
He does die.
We do see, just for a second, we see part like 5 seconds of the battle with the Syrian army. But it's just like 50 guys swinging plastic swords from the Halloween story. It's like a slap fight for 5 seconds.
There's a reason why they chose this guy to narrate.
Yeah. And of course, Elijah, when he was scolding Ahab, he said, all the dogs are going to eat Jezebel and they'll lick the blood of Ahab or something like that. And then we do see that. Ahab dies at the end of that battle and dogs licked his blood. We're told, but not shown. They don't show us the dogs licking the blood.
Yeah. My notes here are just, show me another dog, asshole. You owe me another dog. Right.
So then we get Elijah. He's no longer a shadow ghost. It's the actor again. He is anointing Jehu with oil. And Elijah makes Jehu the king of Israel. It's official now.
So I Googled anoint because I don't know. I had this like moment where I was like, I think we all know what anointing is. We use the word. But then I was like, does it mean something else? It's really weird. It's like, it's a ritual act of smearing oil, milk, or fat onto somebody's head.
Yeah.
I would have fucked that up. I would have been like, bacon. Nice.
To say, you're sacred now.
Have you never been anointed?
What?
Girl, I've got a great anointing place in the valley.
Eli, you've been anointed?
Eli. I'm a woman.
You got to do a nice seafoam anointment.
They don't anoint women.
No, this place, they do acupuncture and anointing.
It's a very liberal anointment.
And Rolf massage.
Rolfing.
and smudging. They'll smudge you before they anoint you.
Yeah.
Kind of a twofer.
Okay.
How is that a word in our language, to anoint, to smear oil on someone's head?
Hey, sorry, everybody. So Kara did a bunch of acid on the break.
It's just really stupid.
And that's why her comedy participation in this section has been anoint.
It's a crazy noise.
Somebody out there who is listening to this feels me right now.
Yeah, the same people who want you on the video. The princess speaks the truth. Okay. She should be on video to defend herself.
I will say, though, that The anointing thing with the, you know, smearing oil, milk, fat.
It's weird. That's
because you're like king now, and also your face has like a smudge of something weird on it. And you're just kind of like wiping it off and like, I'm king. It's my big moment. Just get, can I get a paper towel? Just, it's sticky.
Nope, the dogs are coming.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that would make it better. We also get one more little detail from Elijah. He's like, I'm retiring now. I've done the anointing. Wait, hold on. One more thing. Hey, Elisha. He calls up some other guy from the crowd and he's like, you're the prophet now.
Sorry, his costume's so much worse than mine. We got really confused with the two character listings, Elijah and Elisha.
Well, yeah, so. You can see the rest of the people be like, okay, you just picked him because the names are really close.
No.
Right? It just feels like.
He's a prophet of God and he's not wearing one of the curtains from an earlier scene. He's wearing a costume from the movie.
Doesn't it seem like if they had just killed Elijah at the beginning, it would have gotten better for the pagans?
That was Jezebel's plan once again. Mm. The woman knew what was going on the whole time.
Yeah.
Should have voted for Jezebel.
Yep.
All right. So now it's time for Jehu and his army to attack the palace and do his big coup prophecy that he got from Elijah. And they light the temple of Baal on fire and they attack. And then we see Jezebel, she's just really calm in the palace, in her room, doing makeup. She seems fine.
Sexy lounging.
She's like, hey, Sarah, you can actually head out like 15 minutes early today. I have a feeling they're going to throw me over the balcony.
I don't want you to see that.
No, you'll get paid for the full, you don't have to clock out. You don't have to clock out. No, you don't have to clock out, girl. No, I know you're closing shift, but like, it's honestly fine. It's honestly, the dogs are going to lick up my blood.
Okay, but I want my shift meal still. Can I get a per diem instead?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. And in the background, we hear the mob yelling like, kill Jezebel.
Again, in full sentences, which again, I need my mob not to do. I need my mob to be like, kill her, as opposed to like, kill her to death. I'm in the mob.
Yeah. Yeah, mob chanting never really works as well as you think it's going to. So Jehu walks in at this moment and Jezebel's like, we can have more sex now, right?
Yeah, one last appeal to his boner. He seriously considers it too. He's like,
It works basically. He's supposed to overthrow this reigning demon queen and she's like, hey, congrats on the new job. And he's like, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And so Jehu is, you know, essentially he's the king now. He like won the coup. He's inside the palace. And he's confused by this, though. He's like, yeah, okay, that does sound great, but this feels like it might be another trick. You've been doing tricks this whole time. Jehu pauses for a little too long when Jezebel's like, okay, but do you want to just have sex and still like me? He pauses for too long, so she just walks onto the balcony and immediately gets shot in the chest with an arrow by somebody from the mob.
Okay. That guy downstairs was very clear about what he was going to do if I came on the balcony. That's on me.
Yeah.
Used full sentences and everything.
I love the swiftness of this scene. So she walks on the balcony, shot with an arrow, goes down. Mm-hmm. And then Jehu's like, oh no, bury her.
Okay.
Right. And we're like, whoa, you want to check her pulse first?
This rules. Yeah. Okay. This is what I thought Heath was referencing with best worst death. Because his men run in and he's like, quick. And he's doing the fucking Anthony and Cleopatra tragedy, right? He's like, please. Bury her. And the guys are like, you got it. What? And then immediately, I mean, the comedy timing could not have been more perfect when they roll her off the balcony.
He turns to like look at the wall, like forlornly.
Yes.
They throw her over the balcony and then he turns back and he's like, what happened?
Guys, what happened? Where'd she go? And they're like, what? What'd you say?
We're going to bury her in this air next to the balcony. Oh, she fell. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gets thrown to the mob and she gets trampled immediately. Just like a horse chariot scenario. Just like flies past over. Immediately and tramples and squishes her.
To be clear, this is biblically accurate, although I believe they do it like 7 times in the Bible. And I was really hoping we were going to get a 7 beat, right? I'm just like, hey, guys, I think she's squished. I think she was honestly squished at 3. Oh, you're going around again.
Okay, but I set up a chariot and a horse. I didn't get to do mine.
It's just 3 beats seems like a good touch.
I'm 7th.
Okay.
I'm 7th. I'm doing mine. Yeah.
So, resident Bible expert, in the Bible, is Jehu actually sad?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're making this guy too complicated for their intended audience here.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You know, like, they should make him happy. He shouldn't have, like, complicated, kind of ambivalent feelings about the death of this woman who was evil and...
You sound like the test audience from the 50s. Like, I don't like how they cared about that lady dying.
Right.
I thought the movie was confusing. Why didn't she stay married to Charlie Chaplin?
Why would that character be nuanced? That's stupid. Right.
You guys ever heard the word anoint? It's fucking crazy. Anoint.
Nyant.
Anoint.
It's a weird
word. Even when we talk crazy now, it sounds weird. Anoint.
Anointment. Ointment's our new word. Ointment.
Ointment.
Fly in the anointment. It's crazy.
Hey, guys, I just had an image of Noah, who has come back from two 16-hour days of driving, listening to this episode, and getting to the part where we're all just going, oint, 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 and him being like, cool, so I'll just never go to anything ever fucking again. I'll just fucking live in this house. I'll just always be on every phone call.
A 9-minute Meisner exercise to close the show. Great. Great.
It's a short movie this week, guys. It's only 75 minutes.
So Jezebel is dead. She gets squished by the horse, by the chariot.
Yep.
And then we cut to the Baal statue and it's all smashed up.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we get the narrator one more time.
And you know what he says? He says, there will always be good and there will always be evil.
Yeah. Yeah. And he tells us that God repeated, you know, commandment number one about no other gods before me and was like, guys, first one, seriously? That's the lesson here. That was the first one. And then the narrator takes off the judge's robe. And he's like, also, I have a cane, kind of like Elijah, but not.
Maybe I was really. Elijah all along.
The whole time for 2,000, 7,000 years.
That wouldn't make any sense, though, and that's not biblical. So I don't know why I would be.
And also a fedora. It's a fedora and a shepherd crook.
Yeah, weird picks. Weird picks. Weird, ambiguous fucking Hawthorne ending. I was maybe Elijah the whole time. I don't know what that even
maybe
meant.
Maybe we're all Elijah, if you think about it.
Yeah.
After all.
All right. Well, that's the fucking movie. Any lessons learned about peace in the region? No, there were not. So that's going to do it for the sins of Jezebel. But that's not going to do it for the episode just yet, because we found another terrible movie. So Eli, what's on deck?
When he's fired for taking a knee in prayer at football games, a high school coach takes his battle to the courts to fight for religious freedom. We'll be watching Average Joe.
Cool. The story of theocracy enshrined by our Supreme Court. Love it.
I'm so glad I'm not on that episode.
All right. With that to not look forward to, we're going to bring episode 556 to a merciful close. Huge thanks to Kara for joining us, as always. And for everyone who's new, where can people hear more from you?
So I host Talk Nerdy with Kara Santamaria, and I'm the co-host of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And with the SGU, we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin, and Buffalo, New York soon for PsyCon, Madison for an SGU weekend. And then also in LA, Sydney, Australia, and Christchurch, New Zealand in the next few months. Come see
us.
Nice.
Oh,
some fun travels.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And of course, a big thanks to our Patreon donors for all the generosity. If you'd like to help support the show, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful. And that'll get you early access to an ad-free version of every episode. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, The Skeptocrat, and D&D Minus, available in all the podcast places. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Our theme song is written and performed by Ryan Slotnick of Eel Giraffes on Mars. All other music was written and performed by our audio engineer, Morgan Clark, and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Kara and Eli, I'm Heath, promising to work hard, turn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the American Graffiti close.
A thirsty mob descended on the palace the very next summer when an inevitable drought happened again. because they live in the fucking desert.
Narrator guy went on to tell America about defeating communism with the smooth taste of Lucky Strike cigarettes.
The dog union was very upset that their part got cut by 50%.
Oh, I'm Phil. That's helpful.
I would never gender you, Phil. It's a very woke writer's room.
Yes, it is.
That's why we did the pronoun introduction and the land acknowledgement at the start.
For the British.
For the British, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2026. All rights reserved.